Welcome to WealthSpire Advisors monthly investor insights video. I'm Bobby Moyer and I'm joined with my colleague Sandy Wiggins.
Good to be here, Bobby.
Same here, Sandy. It's March 1st. We'll start by jumping into kind of a review of February, where we stand, and maybe talk a little bit about what we saw and what we see coming forward.
Sounds good.
All right, let's get into it. Well, Sandy, another positive month for the equity markets, but maybe not so much for the bond markets, which I know you'll get to in a second. The S&P 500 was positive by 5.3% in February and is now up 7.1% year to date. The S&P 500 growth index outperformed the value index during February by 400 basis points. That's 4%. The S&P Mid-Cap 400 index slightly outperformed the S&P 500 as it returned 5.9% in February and is now positive by 4.1% year to date. The S&P Small Cap 600 underperformed both the large and mid-cap S&P indexes as it only returned 3.3% in February and is still negative year-to-date by less than 1%. From an S&P 500 sector standpoint, all 11 sectors were positive in February. The leaders were consumer discretionary, up 8.7%, followed by industrials up 7.2%, and materials up 6.5%. The laggards were utilities up 1.1% and consumer staples up 2.3%. I think this is a positive for the markets that the cyclical sectors are leading while defensive sectors are lagging. This is what you'd expect to see during a bull market. The broad international indexes were positive in February. The developed market index was up only 1.8%, while the emerging market index was up 4.8%.
Bond yields moved higher during February, putting pressure on bond returns. Short and intermediate bonds saw the highest increase. The 10-year Treasury yield moved from about 3.8% all the way up to 4.25%. The Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index lost 1.41% during February, bringing its year-to-date return to negative 1.68%. Bond investors have to remember that a large part of their return comes from yield, and we're only 2 months into the year, and yields are higher now as a result of recent increases, which allows them to provide some cushion from additional higher rates and lower prices. The 1 to 3 year aggregate index is down 36 basis points in February, and high yield bonds were positive up 29 basis points. The U.S. dollar also continued to strengthen in February, returning over 1% against a basket of other currencies and is now up 3.7% year to date.
Well, Sandy, as we just went over the returns, I think that the quick review of what happened was it was a really, really good month for the equity markets. Bonds didn't do so well. Higher rates have caused prices to be down. That's part of diversification, and I think, you know, if you have a diversified portfolio, there are periods where things don't all work together, and I think that's what you want. I think that's a good thing, and we'll see how the year ends up. I still think fixed income could probably have a positive year, year to date, but I think really what February was about was a broadening out. You know, we saw different leadership out there. Mid-cap growth was the leading, you know, U.S. category, outperformed the S&P 500, outperformed large-cap growth, which had a very strong... So that was really good. Emerging markets picked up a little bit. They were up almost 5%, not quite. So I mentioned the sector performance earlier. Last year, we're so used to seeing communication services, technology, be the leadership from a sector standpoint. And it was really good to see consumer discretionary have a really nice month. You saw industrials, materials. These tend to be those more cyclical, you know, sectors, which cyclical sectors just meaning that they are more tied to the economy, right? The economic growth, those sectors do well. And I think it's positive, as I mentioned earlier, defensive sectors are lagging. That's a bull market. So I think overall, this was a really, really interesting month. And I think it was really good to see, you know, broad leadership from other areas of the market, not just single names, but even sector leadership that broadened out a little bit in February.
Yeah, and I think we'd like to have a little bit more depth or breadth to the market than we're seeing, but certainly moving in the right direction. And, you know, we can't have our conversation today without talking about the FANGs or the Magnificent Seven. And that was a mixed bag. You know, you had NVIDIA and Meta up over 25%. You had Microsoft had a good month.
Underperforming the S&P though, right? Yeah. They're the largest company in the S&P. They were up 4% or something versus the market up over 5%.
So. Yeah, Amazon was up 13%.
Second largest company, right? Amazon. Yeah, Amazon up 13%.
And then Apple.
Right, the second largest Apple.
Was negative.
Negative for the month.
Google was negative.
Yep, so there you go. We're talking about the Magnificent Seven. Three stocks you named had really, really strong months,
representing,
right?
What, more than 50% of the return for the quarter,
from an attribution standpoint. Yeah. And Tesla's a fun one too, right? had a terrible January, down 20%. I think they were up 7 or 8% in February. Another magnificent seven, if you will, although a lot of people threw them out after that disastrous January. So the leadership at top, we saw broaden out a little bit and not getting the top two companies leading the market. And, you know, other sectors, biotech, the XBI ETF was up 12%. Home builders, XHB ETF was up 10%. So these are other sectors that are doing really good. And as we already talked about, mid-cap outperforming large cap. So I find these to be really, really positive. I think we shift a little bit here really quickly and touch on the economy, inflation, right? We got a really hot, or not really, a hot CPI and a PPI number. Those are inflation readings that the economy is, or the Wall Street and everybody watches for where we're headed in inflation. And it came in a little bit hot. Market got a little bit choppy around that. But what
is really after that NVIDIA announced,
a week later, it was,
you know, off to the races again. So I don't know that we're as concerned about inflation right now as we maybe were over the last 18 months.
A little scary, NVIDIA might have saved us again, right? Because Palo Alto announced the day before, they were down 25%, then NVIDIA comes out and they blow it out. But what it did do, which I think is a positive, it reset Wall Street expectations for rate cuts, right? We talked about this earlier in the year. The expectation was 6 cuts this year. We were like, whoa, where's this coming from unless we're in a recession, right? And the Fed was at about 3. Well, they've gotten to be about even now. Made 3 to 4 from the street and 3 for the Fed. I look at this as being a good sign to see this right ship to get there. Now we're looking at maybe a June cut as the first cut potentially. But again, all data dependent. We could get more data. We got PCE the 29th of February, the last day. That was in line with expectations. So maybe calm some fears a little bit. I don't know. But, you know, I still think I'm not overly worried about inflation at this point. I think it still needed to come down. But it's more about the economy, economic growth. If the economy can handle higher rates, that's a good thing overall. And if the Fed could slowly bring them down while the economy continues to grow, I'm all for that. I think it's good for the market.
Yeah, and so let's touch on earnings a little bit. We've gotten through, 98-99% of the earnings for the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And it was solid. There was a 4% growth rate for the quarter. There was a little bit more negative announcements than average.
Yep.
And the overall positive tone was slightly less than what historical averages have been.
Expectations of CEOs and that sort of
thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
But overall, I think we're sitting nicely from an earnings point of view.
You know, Sandy, before we wrap this up, I'll throw in a couple that I think are fun statistics on where we sit right now. And, you know, looking back, we talked about February being a good month. November was positive. December was positive. January is positive. February is positive. So what does that mean, right, to history? One, January, February. When you see January and February positive, the numbers are pretty overwhelming that the year is going to be positive, right? Historically speaking, you know, all the fund disclosures in there, past results are not indicative of future returns, right? But it's fun to look at. So I think the average return going back, Ryan Dietrich has some good numbers out on this. Based on his research, 19.9% average return of the S&P when January and February are positive. Take it one step farther and say, what about when November, December, January, February, 4 consecutive months are positive? You go back to 1950, 14 times it's happened, 14 times it's been positive, average return over 21% in that environment. And, you know, this does not by any means say we're going to be positive and there's a guarantee around that. I was pretty vocal about that. But it makes you feel good. It's a positive. You know, a lot of people, we hit all-time highs, then NASDAQ hit all-time highs on the last day of February. And you want to turn negative. You want to turn like, oh, okay, well, here we're going to reverse. That's not the way that it generally has worked in the past. We're in an uptrend and it's a positive and the sentiment has changed. Sure, that makes you a little bit nervous sometimes. I think the sentiment readings are better when everybody's bearish, that you're going to get a bounce, not so much when everybody's bullish. Momentum works and the carry continues. So it's some good statistics around where we were these last 4 months in January, February.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of cash on the sidelines,
yeah.
And there's certainly a bullish tone that's developing, but there's also caution. There's also questions still about the recession and is it going to be a hard landing or soft landing? That helps moderate the market, and you know, the longer we can be reasonable in our expectations and not get too speculative, that's a healthy bull market. So, you know, the other part of it is we're in election year, and you talked about historical facts, and history shows that typically in an election year, January, February,
mid-February, really,
is a bit choppy.
Right.
We haven't seen that. Doesn't mean it's not around the corner. But again, looking at history, the second part of election years are pretty solid. So with your, you know, perspective, and you throw on top of that the historical election years, let's just get through the first two quarters, see how things shake out. And, you know, maybe we'll have a very solid second part of the year and close it out in double digit, hopefully high single digit returns.
Yeah, really good year, right, so far. Good start to the year. You know, I guess the one thing, this is the time, I guess, we put our public service announcement out there and warn people about FOMO, right? That fear of missing out. We see that all the time of if, you know, you don't want to tell people to time the market because you just don't know, right? That people were skeptical again after November, December, and here we are. Another strong start to the year, and it's positive, and it's we're in an uptrend for now, right? There's risks out there, but a good start. I think we ended there, and see where we go in March.
Sounds good.